With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The Federal Reserve faces a fresh test in 2019.
The Fed is trying to navigate the always tricky soft landing, and it's going to come down to whether they focus more on the relative strength of the U.S. economy or if they react to what appears to be a global slowdown.
Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Morath has the details. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. President Trump announced plans to visit the southern border on Thursday as another week began with a continued battle over funding for a border wall. The partial government shutdown entered its third week on Monday. The White House and congressional aides met twice over the weekend without reaching an agreement to end the shutdown. The president has said he is considering declaring a national emergency if Congress doesn't agree to his demands to fund a border wall. The U.S. and China began a fresh round of trade negotiations in Beijing on Monday. The U.S. is seeking to hold China to pledges it made to purchase more U.S. goods and services and reduce regulatory hurdles. The U.S. and China agreed to a truce on additional tariffs during a meeting in early December. The latest round of negotiations is set to last 2 days. For the latest details and developments, visit WSJ.com or the WSJ app. OPEC officials say Saudi Arabia is planning to cut crude exports to 7.1 million barrels a day by the end of the month to boost the price of oil and cover increases in recent government spending. That would be a cut of as much as 800,000 barrels a day from November levels. The U.S. housing market has been a trouble spot in an otherwise strong economy, but falling mortgage rates are giving hope of a boost for the housing sector. Mortgage rates have fallen to around their lowest levels in 8 months. According to mortgage finance giant Freddie Mac, the average rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage rate fell to 4.51%. The average rate hit a more than 7-year high just this past October of nearly 5%. Still to come, more on the Fed's big challenge in 2019. The Federal Reserve faces fresh challenges in 2019 as it seeks to keep the economy from overheating while avoiding a recession. That was a key topic at an economic conference over the weekend. And joining us now via Skype from Atlanta, Georgia, where that conference took place, is Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Morath. Eric, we know the economy was really strong in 2019, but some of those troublesome factors that have been persistent in the past few months include market volatility, which has been raising the specter of a recession.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the scene at this economics conference where you had hundreds of the top economists from around the country and really around the world, you know, you'd think coming off of 2018, where we had the best year of growth in a decade and blockbuster employment numbers of late, like there would be a lot of optimism, but that wasn't the case at all. It was really, you know, are we heading into a recession? Most of them think we can avoid it in the near term, but a lot of them told me like we're kind of one shock away at this point. There's so many concerns out there that if one unforeseen event happens, that could tip the U.S. into a recession for the first time in about 10 years.
And we definitely have some challenges already in the new year. We, of course, still have the government shutdown, which has delayed economic data that the Fed uses to assess the state of the economy.
Yeah, that's right. The Fed doesn't have their preferred measure of inflation. I can't tell you with certainty that 2018 was the best year in a decade because we probably won't get the final readings on 2018 for a while at this point. So that's one point of uncertainty. I would say the bigger concern, though, is overseas. You know, you saw a slowdown in China, and I think it rattled a lot of folks that Apple, a company that, you know, is a big market cap, said, hey, you know, that those sales in China are important to us, a U.S. business. You're starting to see sort of the direct effects of the trade tensions and the overseas slowdown. That's probably the biggest risk factor right now.
And certainly something we've talked about a lot in 2018. Now, we do know the Fed has signaled a slower pace for interest rate hikes this year. But how do these factors we've been speaking about complicate those plans, especially when it comes to striking that balance that'll give the Fed a soft landing, which, as you note in your piece for the Wall Street Journal, is pretty rare?
Right. Yeah, we've rarely found the cornfield or whatever you need to land an airplane softly. yeah, they've tried this before. And, you know, so recently in 2015, we kind of did this, right? China was slowing at that point as well. U.S. manufacturing was contracting. There was a lot of concerns at that point. And the Fed said, hey, we're going to pull off our interest rate increases. We're going to move a little more slowly. And you know what? The expansion continued. But that's the kind of rare exception. You know, there was similar talk in 2008 that we could steer our way through this, or even after in 2001 and around time of the 9/11 attacks that maybe, you know, we'll slow, but we won't stop. And as we know, those are the two we already were in two recessions at that point. Even looking back further, you know, there's been times where the U.S. avoided a recession, say, in the late 90s when there was an Asian financial crisis. But a lot of people say with the Fed kind of pulling back then and allowing things to be a little bit more frothy ended up resulting in, you know, the dot-com bubble 2 years later. So, you know, it's really hard to navigate a slower global economy because the globe is interconnected and the U.S. isn't insulated.
So, Eric, as much as we can look ahead to the future here, what should we expect to see in the next couple of months?
Well, I think in the next few months, the U.S. consumer probably still looks pretty strong. We have better wage growth, better employment growth, and that's a big driver of the U.S. economy. It's honestly a big driver of the global economy. So if consumers remain optimistic, you know, that could kind of power us through. But, you know, the manufacturing sector is certainly going to be one to watch. We saw, you know, we're going to have some limited data on that, but the private data that we saw recently showed a slowdown. So that had been a real hot spot for employment recently. And say another spot is construction has been a strong area. Well, if businesses are uncertain about the future, they might be less willing to make those major investments. So if a few of those strong areas begin to pull back, you know, I definitely would expect that we're not going to see 3% growth like we did in 2018. We're probably going to go back to 2%, 1.5%, which is, think about how the economy was most of the expansion since 2009. That's kind of, I think, the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is that, you know, we contract and we have a small recession or worse.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Morath joining us via Skype from Atlanta, Georgia. Eric, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Happy to join you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.